The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise, do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One of my favorite actors slash comedians is Bill Murray. Love that guy. Partly because being born in the late 80s, in the 80s and 90s, that was kind of Bill Murray's prime time appearances. It was in 1993, I believe, when he came out with a movie of his, Groundhog's Day. But he's had probably one of the greatest careers of any comedian I can think of recent memory. He was star in Ghostbusters, which is one of the great movies of the 80s. He was in Lost in Translation, Zombieland, St. Vincent here most recently. Many great movies that he has been in and has kind of played a very similar role in all of them. He has that very sarcastic, ironic character, very witty, very clever on the plot. Part of what makes him so successful in his comedic roles is that he himself, Bill Murray, as an actor, as a comedian, is very much like that himself. Very ironic, very simple. One of his more recent hobbies that I think is just fantastic, he'll wander around New York City. And what I mean by that is he'll just kind of show up at random places unannounced, start without them ever realizing that he was going to be there. So like one day he was going out for a stroll and he decided, you know what, I just want to go bowling. So he wandered into a bowling alley, and he just found a group of guys that are just bowling. He's like, you mind if I join you? And they're just like, Bill Murray, like, this is great. You know, and they're like getting his photo, you know, and getting autographs from him and everything. And another one, it was late at night, and he was walking down a street in New York and just wandered into a bar, went up to the bartender, was like, do you mind if I serve drinks this evening? And the bartender's like, you're Bill Murray, you can do whatever you want, you know. And so Bill Murray comes back behind the bar and he's sitting there ordering up drinks, you know, and serving them to everybody, you know, and everyone's having, is that Bill Murray, you know, that's really Bill Murray, you know, and they're loving this, you know, just seeing this guy. Here most recently in the media, there was a press conference at the White House, you know, as there usually is, and the media folk were, you know, out there with their notepads and everything, taking down what was being said about, you know, President Trump and all this stuff. And after the conference was over, immediately afterwards, security must have been pretty light, because right afterwards, Bill Murray just jumped up on stage, and he got behind the podium, and all the reporters are just kind of sitting there just like, sure, you know, why not? It's Bill Murray. And he started talking about how the Cubs are going to win the World Series again this year. Time and time again, he surprises people. He does these things just to kind of live life to the full. A few years ago, there was an interview of Bill Murray in which the interviewer asked him, here you are, late in your career, you've had this amazing run as a comedian, you're well-known, well-loved, but what is it that Bill Murray wants that he doesn't already have? What is it that you want that you don't already have? And Bill Murray kind of paused for a moment, and he said, I wish I were more here. And the interviewer kind of looked at him with a puzzled look. And Bill Murray went on to explain, and he said, you know when you wake up in the morning and you stand in front of the mirror and you look at yourself, but you're not really looking at yourself. You know, a face that needs to be prepared for the day. You need to beautify yourself. You need to make yourself look presentable for the day. And you're thinking in the back of your mind of all the things that are laying ahead of you in the day, all these distractions that are there. And he said, I want to look in the mirror and see me. The one thing that I wish that I had that I don't is to be me. In America today, this land that promises the greatest freedom that the world has ever known, we are facing an identity crisis. We have in our culture, our society, such rampant individualism that we have gotten to the point that we have forgotten who we are, and instead we have decided we're going to create our own identity. I was reading an article here recently that was talking about how far this has gone. And it talked about this young lady, this young Caucasian lady, that after thinking about it and, you know, wondering about who she was, she decided that her soul was the soul of an African-American woman. And so she went to a tattoo parlor and decided to completely cover herself in dark tattoos, making herself look, as best as she could, like an African-American. She believed her race to be. There was another example. There was a young man who thought to himself, I'm going to pick my identity, and I just feel like my soul is that of a handicapped person. He was perfectly healthy in his limbs. His arms and legs worked just fine. But he felt that deep inside he was meant to be a handicapped, and so he wanted to spend the rest of his life in a wheelchair. Now, those are examples. But the reality is, each and every one of us faces this identity crisis of who we are. Are we authentically ourselves? And the answer is, if you've sinned, you're not. Every time that we fall into those temptations, we lose a bit of ourself. We're not really who God created us to be. When I was at Cardinal Ritter, we had a penance service. We were hearing confessions of these high school kids, and we were in the gymnasium. It was a great setup. We had all these different confessionals around the gym, and in the very center, we had erected an altar, and on the altar we had a monstrance. We had Jesus Christ present there. And I'll never forget it. This young lady, this senior, came over to my confessional, and she sat down. Before she even got started, she was crying uncontrollably, just sobbing there in her chair, her hands covering her face. And I said, it's okay, you're okay, it doesn't matter what you've done, God's going to forgive you for it. And she shook her head and she said, no, Father, that's not it. And I was like, okay, what's going on? We can talk about it. And she said, Father, I'm a senior in high school. I have to choose what university I'm going to go to. I need to choose a major. I need to choose what's going to go on in my life in the future. But I don't know who I am. She said, for all of my life, all I've ever done is followed other people. I have been a copycat My entire life, their likes became my likes. Their dislikes became my dislikes. I don't know what I want to do. I have no idea who I am. I was so obsessional. I didn't know what to say. I looked at her and I just said the first thing that came to my mind because I was just trying to cover my bases. I acted out of instinct and I just said, ask Jesus. Ask Jesus who you are. And there he was in the center of the gym for her. When I was in high school, I remember going to confession to the priest. It wasn't anything to do with identity crisis. But I remember going to him and confessing that I had spent so much time daydreaming or imagining what my future would be like, who I was going to be in the future. And I confessed to him that I always, you know, dreamt of this great success in my life, that I was going to be very wealthy, you know, and very powerful and all these different things in my future, that I would fulfill the American dream. That I would even go to bed at night thinking of those things, dreaming about them, wanting them above all else. I told him I brought that to confession because I know as Christians, we don't hold to that. As Christians, there's another goal in mind and I'm just not into it. And I remember his advice to me. The first bit of advice really wasn't helpful at all. He said, well, stop dreaming about those things and start dreaming about what heaven's going to be like. I was like, dream about what's going to go on after I'm dead. But then his second bit of advice was actually spot on. And I've never forgotten it. He said to me, imagine that today you are already the person you will be in heaven. Imagine that this day you are already the person you'll be in heaven. And what did he mean by that? He meant what we celebrate today, the creation of the Lord. You know, it's amazing. We don't call it the transformation of the Lord. It's not that Jesus Christ became something totally other. He was transfigured. He was completely revealed to us in who he was, his identity as the Son. And what makes this day so amazing is the very last line in today's gospel. We expect that this event would take place after Jesus had died and rose again, right? Why? He's resurrected, he's come back again, he'd be in all of his glory, all of his splendor, all of his majesty to present himself to us. But no, the transfiguration does not take place after his death, not after his resurrection, not after his glory. It's his life, smack dab, in the middle of everything that's going on around him. Why? Because he wanted to be real to us. It's incredible. In the midst of this, the disciples are up there and they see Christ levitate off the ground and they say that his face shone like the sun and there was a light coming off his face. And they hear this voice from heaven crying out and it says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased." And then the instruction comes and God says to them, "Listen to him. Listen to this son of mine." And the next thing that Jesus Christ says to his disciples and to all of us, what have we to fear? He comes to us and he says, "You are the sons and daughters of God. Your identity is one of servants of God who are going sent forth into the world with his grace and his blessing to do his will. That in you lies the love of God. That you have the morning star rising in your heart, that you have the blood of divinity racing through your veins, that you are already who you will be in heaven, the love and glory of God in your life." I wonder to myself if that became a reality, if everyone in this building went forth today, now, into the world to do that, how wonderful it would be. You know, at the end of his interview, Bill Murray looked at the interviewer and he said, "If I could only be me, if I could resist the temptations and distractions and just be me, Think what I could accomplish. Amen.